appreciate very much the opportunity I have to be here with you again, and I trust that you will pray for me for the time that I stand before you tonight. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 18 to behold Israel after the flesh. Now that simply means that if we will look at national Israel from a fleshly standpoint, then we can see many of the experiences and trials and the afflictions that the church itself and even us ourselves go through on a daily basis. So for just a little while tonight, I want to go back and read with you and study with you about a time when the spiritual worship of God had almost paled into insignificance in the lives of the people of God. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17 or 18 in verse 21, 1 Kings 18 and 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" If you'll go back and you'll begin to study just how that idolatry had crept into the nation of Israel, and how that counterfeits had presented themselves in the camps of Israel. I want you to understand something today, brothers and sisters, that counterfeits are very dangerous. Several months ago, we had some ABI agents come into our county because some counterfeit bills had shown up in our area in northern Alabama, and they came to our county. And I'd never seen a counterfeit $20 bill. And so they came in our offices, and I began to talk to them, and I said, "I want to see what a counterfeit $20 bill looks like." And they got it out, and they showed it to me, and just looking at them, I couldn't tell the difference. But my question to them was, how do you tell the difference? And you know what I would have thought? I would have thought that those agents would have studied the counterfeit enough to where they could have recognized that counterfeit bill just at the snap of your fingers. But that's not the way they do it. They study the real thing. And they are so familiar with the real thing that when the counterfeit is presented, they recognize it immediately. Now, I say that to say this. Brothers and sisters, we in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be familiar enough with the real thing. Amen. That when a counterfeit is presented, we can recognize it without hesitation. Amen. We all have that. Amen. Now, in the days of national Israel, in the days of Elijah, a idolatrous king and his wife had brought things to the camp that were ungodly. They had brought worship that was ungodly. And God's people had fallen into that avenue and seemingly had almost lost sight of what the worship of God was because of the counterfeits, because of the idolatry that was among them. But may I say to you that my Lord said that I will not be left without a witness. I don't care how evil the world becomes, I don't care how evil it has become, how low it's got in times past or times to come, that somewhere, somehow, God will preserve a remnant in the truth of the gospel. Now, I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be in Lubbock, Texas today. The Bible tells us it hadn't rained 3.5 years. You know, that's a long drought. 3.5 years it hadn't rained. Elijah comes to the camps of Israel, and as they have warned the camps of his coming, they had warned Ahab that Elijah is here. The Bible says it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, you know what he said? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? My God, what a statement. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah said, Ahab. He said, it's not I that have troubled Israel, but it's you and your house that have troubled Israel. You've gathered them into idolatrous worship. You have led them down the wrong paths. The Bible tells us that Elijah said, now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets and the groves, 400, and eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah says to all of them that were gathered there, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But he said, if God is Baal, he said, follow him. Well, how are we going to determine this? Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a dry time. But he said, I can just hear him now. He said, boys, there's an old poor steer out here on the side of the hill. Y'all go get him and you offer him up. We'll fix it. We'll offer him up on an altar. And not only that, you get these barrels of water and you dig a ditch around that altar, and you take 12 barrels of water after the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said, you pour this water on this offering. And even it was so great that it filled up the ditch around the altar. And you know what? He said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. You know what they said? It is well spoken. It is well spoken. That's the truth, Elijah. Well, you know what happened? They said, all right, you call upon Baal. And you know they called. They began to talk. They began to call. They began to call upon Baal. Baal, come down and answer by fire. Come down and consume this offering. Baal didn't answer. Elijah began to make fun of him. Maybe he's going on a journey. Maybe he's got hard of hearing and called a little louder. He began to make fun of them. Come down and consume this offering. Maybe he's gone. Maybe he's hard of hearing. I hope that he'll come. You know what they began to do? They began to jump on the altar. They called and they cried, but Baal didn't answer. You know why? Because I'll tell you, that piece of wood and that stone could not answer. It was not God, it never has been, and it never would be. But how many times do you and I oftentimes turn our thoughts to the things of this world that cannot answer? How many times are we guilty? I remember one time they called me to come preach down below Jackson, Mississippi. Called me to come to a place called It, Mississippi. Y'all ever heard of It, Mississippi? When you go come into It, Mississippi, you can come in and you get to there and there's a sign there that said, this is It. It, Mississippi. If you go through it, there's a sign down there that said, you missed It. I'm going to tell you right now, you know. Well, I want to tell you, there's been plenty of times in my life when I have missed It. I've set my thoughts on the wrong things. I've set my affection on the wrong things. But you know what the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1? If ye then be risen with Christ,
Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, if you're a child of God, you do not have the authority to set your affection on things that are below. You are commanded to set your affection on things above. Elijah says, well, He begins to talk to him. He said, now, your God may be going on a journey. He hadn't answered, but you know, when all of this began to transpire, to make a long story short, now he comes, bring the water. We'll pour this water on here. And you know what? The ditch was filled up and he calls on God. He said, now, God, there it is. If there's anything done with it, you're going to have to do it. You know that a lot of folks thinks a dead sinner is like a wet altar. You know that? They think that they can call on God and all they got to do is call and say, Lord, you work on this dead sinner now and he's going to be all right. I want to tell you right now, brother, that dead sinner is just like a wet altar. If there's everything in it done with him, God's going to have to do it. Amen. God's going to have to do it. Yes, sir. Well, you know what? After they'd done all this, here was the water, here was the offering on the altar. Elijah calls on God, and God answers by fire. God answers by fire. Sometimes I've got a sermon I preach on fire sometimes. You know, fire is a symbol of judgment. Fire is a symbol of judgment. A fire goeth before him. A fire, many times in the Bible, is a symbol of God's presence. Over the tabernacle by night, the presence of God was manifest by a pillar of fire. And the presence and the judgment of God was manifest in this camp of idolatrous Israel by the coming down of fire. It not only consumed their offering, but it licked up the water that was in the ditch round about the altar. I'll tell you right now that Elijah, according to orders, began to slay the prophets of Baal in the groves. And what a great experience this must have been. But I want to tell you right now, you would think that this man would never doubt. You would think that this man would never have another doubt about another thing. But what happened to Elijah? The Bible tells me that there was a woman of the name of Jezebel that swore in her wrath that I'm going to put this man to death. He's embarrassed us all. He's taken Baal out of our worship. And he's put the prophets to death and I'm going to kill him as soon as I can. Why, you'd think that Elijah would say, well, that woman can say all she wants to. She can't touch me. I'm God's man. I'm God's instrument. She can't touch me. Is that what he did? No. Elijah got depressed, didn't he? You ever get depressed? Somebody said, preacher, I don't ever get depressed. You tell somebody that'll believe it. I don't. I get depressed every once in a while. I get depressed with the apathy and the unconcern of God's people sometimes. Now, I don't know whether y'all have that problem out here, but in Alabama and Georgia, we got it. I get depressed with the attitude so many times of God's people that it really doesn't matter. That it really doesn't matter. I've talked to people, well, Brother Ricky, I love the Lord and I love the church, but just don't count on me for anything. Just don't give me any responsibility. Well, I'll tell you right now, brothers and sisters, if you're going to have joy and peace and happiness in the kingdom of God, you're going to get out of it just what you put in it. Labor, labor. Hear me? There's a labor in the kingdom of God. All right, Elijah, you would think he'd say, well, that woman's not going to bother me, but that wasn't the case. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sat down under a juniper tree, and bless your sweetheart, he prayed to die. Prayed to die. Can you imagine that? I think that if I could have seen the fire of God come down from heaven when I called it, why, they could have told me what they wanted to. All the devils in hell could have never done in my place. But I'm going to tell you, Elijah wasn't that way. Elijah got depressed, just like Jeremiah did. You know Jeremiah, that crying preacher, the weeping prophet? Do you know what he said? He got so depressed that he said, I'll speak no more in the name of the Lord. But I'll tell you, God had a way of fixing him, didn't he? God had a way of building a fire under him. The Bible said that he said, I felt something like fire shut up in my bones. I felt something like fire shut up in my bone. God has a way of doing that. And he did that to Elijah here. Do you know what? The Bible tells me that Elijah went out there and as he came down there to a cave, why, he went in there and as depressed as he was, why, he saw several things. He saw the wind and the fire, and he went to the mouth of the cave and he covered his face with his mantle because of these extreme conditions that existed. And God spoke to him and said this, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "Lord, I've been very jealous for thee. I'm about the only one." "I'm about the only one, Lord. I've been very jealous for thee because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And now I'm the only one, Lord, that's left." He was on his pity pot, wasn't he? I get like that sometimes. You know, the other day, I got so aggravated. Y'all ever get aggravated? I got so aggravated, I sat down in my chair. I was fixing going to church, and my wife, bless her heart, we've been married 30 years next month. We got married 30 years ago and come to the West Texas Association. That's where we spent our honeymoon. Stay with Brother George. I got aggravated and I just said, "Well, these people don't care anything about me. They don't care anything about the church." And I began to look and I got discouraged. And I'm going to tell you, there was such a dark cloud that came down till I just got so depressed. It's over with. I'm throwing in the towel. I sat down. She said, "It's about time to go to church." I said, I ain't going. I'm going to see how they like that. Some of them don't show up when they want to. I said, "I just ain't going to show up." See how they like that. I sat there for a few minutes. She said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "No, I ain't going." She said, "You get up from there." "You get up from there and you put on your britches and you get ready, and we're going to go to the house of God this morning." You know, sometimes the Lord uses instruments in our lives to put a fire under us, doesn't he? My daddy, bless his heart, used to the men in the community, and I've told this some places, used to the men in the community at Christmas time, they would get fruit baskets for some of the elderly people, and there was an old lady lived on our place named Miss Lizzie Kennedy. And Miss Kennedy was getting old and on up in years, and she lived down below our house, between our house and the gin, and she lived in one of our houses that had a steep tin roof on it like this. And she would go to bed right just at dark, and in the summertime that was late, and some of us boys would go down that gravel road then, and we'd take rocks and we'd throw it on that tin roof, and it'd sound like a hailstorm was coming. And we'd run, and of course we thought, you know, she didn't know who it was, but she did, of course. Well, at Christmas time, Daddy came and said, "Now, Ricky," said, "we're behind in putting out these fruit boxes. Says, you carry Miss Lizzie hers down there for me." I said, "Oh, Lord, no." I said, "Not me." I said, I'm the one that throws rocks on the house and running away. I walked up there, and y'all seen this. There's a screen door up there, and you could open it up, and it sounded like it's going to tear off the hinges. It squeaks so bad. There's cotton stuck in the holes in the screen door. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I knocked on the door, and Miss Lizzie come to the door. She had her hair done up in a bun, just as neat as a pin. And I said, "Miss Lizzie," I said, "here is your Christmas box, and we hope you have a Merry Christmas." She said, "Well, thank you, Ricky." And she said, I want to thank the Lord for his blessings. I said, "Well, it's a wonderful blessing, isn't it?" She said, "Yeah. The devil may have brought it, but the Lord sure did send it." Now, you get my point? I want to tell you something. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the Lord uses things to teach us and put us in our place. And the Lord was using this man, his experience, to show us that even though he stood in the mouth of a cave and covered his face with his mantle, and though he thought he was by himself and nobody else was faithful to God, you know what the answer was? "I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Amen. Thank God, right in the middle of that idolatrous nation, there was still some there. And I'll tell you this today. Paul preached this very same thing, didn't he? And made reference to it. Listen to Romans chapter 11. Paul says this in Romans chapter 11. Notice the terminology. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite. Now he gives you his pedigree right here. He said, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. For do you not know what the scripture saith of Elias or Elijah? How he make intercession to God against Israel. He didn't make intercession to God for Israel. He made intercession to God against Israel. Get the point. Saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone and they seek my life. He's recounting what Elijah went through. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. He reminds of the nation of this. But listen now to the next verse. Even so, in like manner, even so, just as there was then, there also is now, even so at this present time. Right in the time when Paul preached, at that present time, he said there is also a remnant, according what? How is it? According to the election of grace. Brother, I like that. There is a remnant today, my friend, in this world that is going to carry the truth. God has so stated in his word. Now, the church may go down here at Lubbock. It may go down at Cool Springs in Georgia. It may go down at New Hope in Alabama. But I'm going to tell you, as long as this world stands, there will be a church that stands. God's promise is that. The Bible said in Matthew 16 and 13 that he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and inquired of his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, what is public opinion about me? How long halt ye between two opinions? He says, what is public opinion about me? He said, some say thou art Elijah. Some say that thou art Jeremiah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. They're wrong on all four counts. Every time they were wrong. But he says to the disciples, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And that bold apostle Peter, whose mouth always overloaded him, said this, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus pronounces him a blessed character. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of Jonah, for what flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I'll tell you this, my friend, if you've ever had a revelation of Jesus Christ and his truth, you better remember this, that it did not come by flesh and blood. It did not come by a preacher. It did not come by a prophet, but it came by Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, through the medium of the Holy Spirit, my Father, which is in heaven. And thou art Peter. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church. Not churches, but I will build my church. Talked to a young man one time, said, right there, Brother Ricky, right there on the Apostle Peter is where the church was built. You mean to tell me on that man that said, Lord, all men may forsake you, but I'll go either to prison unto death, and then got up in public and cursed and swore and never knew the man? Is that the man he built the church on? Is that the man when the Lord told him to go out and preach, he went fishing and forgot about it for a season? Is that the man that he built the church on? I say 1,000 times no. But I'll tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built on the rock of revelation. Amen. That's the rock that it's built on. The rock of revelation. He says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And what? And the gates of hell, the gates of the adversary, shall never prevail against it. Now, if it does, then that text cannot be depended on. If the church can be destroyed by the adversary, then this text cannot be depended on. But I say the church will never be destroyed by the adversary. I say the church will have trouble because of the adversary. I say the church will have problems and affliction because of the devil himself. But I'll tell you right now, he does not have the power nor the authority to destroy the church of the living God. It cannot be done. For the simple reason that the foundation of head is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It cannot be destroyed. The likelihood of that does not exist. Now I say this to you today. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? There may be some of you here today that have contemplated joining the church. There may be some of you here today that have said, well, Brother Ricky, I am not fit to join the church. I'm just not worthy to join the church. Well, I realize that. I'm not worthy either. None of us are worthy. But I'm going to tell you right now, your worthiness is not in you, but it's in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made you worthy. You have been made worthy by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, preacher, listen, there's too many hypocrites down there in the church. Well, listen, they've room for another. They've room for one more. Room for one more. All of us a little bit hypocritical along the line, aren't we? That's right. All of us a little bit hypocritical. Have I told you this? That back during the dark days of the Depression, the Atlanta Zoo's gorilla died. The gorilla died at the Atlanta Zoo, and so they couldn't afford to buy another gorilla, so they offered a job to a man if he would put on a gorilla suit and swing across the cage and let a lion paw at him like this. So a man applied for the job, and he got it, and he was out before a congregation of people one day, and he was swinging back and forth across there, and the rope broke, and he fell right down across the line, and this man that was inside of that gorilla suit, and these folks on the outside began to hear a voice come out of that gorilla suit. Save me from this lion. And all of a sudden, the voice came out of the lion suit and said, you better hush or both of us are going to lose our job. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there's more than one hypocrite in the church. You hear me? I hope you understand what I mean. How long halt ye between two opinions? If you're waiting, my friends, today, and I say that in a practical sense now, if you're waiting today to become good enough to be a member of the church, you will never be good enough. Because there are idols in our lives, there are things that come in our lives that causes us to draw back. But I'll tell you right now, when the Lord Jesus Christ blesses you to see the church and to see the remnant, to see those who are faithful to the cause of Christ, to see those who are giving themselves in the cause of Christ, then you can say with the Songs of Solomon, he says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. They didn't have it back over there under the Old Testament, but it came in the New Testament. The seal of the fountain was broken and the stream began to go forth. The gospel was preached as it had never been preached before. And today, my friend, we still have that same gospel on this side of the resurrection. Oh, how sweet it is. Oh, how sweet the gospel message is. It is called the glorious gospel. It is called the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God. Notice in the Bible how many times the terminology of the gospel is used. It's good news that Jesus died, rose, and revived, that he might be God of the dead and of the living. How long halt you between two opinions? Oh, how long halt you between two opinions? I say this today, that we as God's people, that we as God's people ought not to be confused. We ought not to be confused. We ought not to allow idolatry in the camp. We ought not to allow that in the camp which would divide our allegiance. Hear me? Sometimes allegiances are divided. Sometimes we find ourselves looking to God and believing in God and remembering the great blessings of God, but then the things of earth just crowd in around us. They begin to weigh heavy on our shoulders and we begin to shrink back. Oh, how many times have we done that? I tell you, you've got to live in this world, brother. You've got to live in this world. Don't you forget that. You've got to live in it. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be a part of every part of it. My little girl, when she went to college, bless her heart, you know, she's the best girl I got. She's the only one I got. She went down to the university and she'd been at home all of her life. She'd never led a sheltered life. I mean, she was a member of the church. But she went down there. She went 2 years to the junior college, and then she transferred down to the university. And she called me one night real late. She said, "Daddy, I want to come home." Daddy's about ready to go get her. I mean, you know, y'all know how that is. Daddy's about ready to go. I said, "What's the matter, sweetheart?" She said, "Daddy, these things goes on down here that I'm just not used to." She said, "There are things goes on down here that are ungodly things." And I was proud of her. Listen, I was. I was proud of the little thing. I really was. And I still thought she was a little girl. It tore my heart out when she had to leave and go away. But you know what? I said, "Listen, sweetheart, the more I thought about it, I said, look, I'm not going to come and get you because you've got to learn to live in this world that's no friend to grace." And I want to tell you that tonight, young people and old people alike, you're going to have to live in this world. You're going to have to be in this world. But I want to tell you right now, you don't have to fellowship it in every degree. That's right. There are things in this world that will destroy your life, that will destroy your peace and happiness in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it ought not to be a question in your life. How long halt you between two opinions? If God has shown you the church by that great revelation, if you've been able to see it, see it as a city set on a hill, you know, a city set on a hill is hard to miss, isn't it? It really is. A city set on a hill, one whose light that cannot be hid. I'm telling you, that's what the church is in this world. That's what it is. I'm going to tell you, I love the church. I mean, I just don't love Lubbock Primitive Baptist Church, although I do. I don't love the four walls and the benches. I love the church, which is made up of a company of baptized believers. That's the church, wherever they meet together. And I love them, and I give my life for them. You know, I'd like to be like some of these folks are that, you know what, one of my fathers in the ministry, Elder C.M. Mills from Charlotte, North Carolina, told me a long time ago. He said, "Brother Ricky, I want to tell you something. In the life of a preacher, there's no place for retirement or a vacation." Said, "You just don't get many of them." And you know, that kind of disturbed me, but I found out that's the truth, Brother Gale. I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel for retirement. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting out of the jobs and the jobs that I've got. But I'm, as far as retiring from the service of God, I want to tell you right now, I want to be like old Brother Watts was 275 years ago when he wrote that song, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas?" I tell you, I want to put on the armor of God. I want to be a soldier of the cross. And I ask you today, how long halt you between two opinions? How long halt you between two opinions? If God's God, you serve him. And if God is something else, it don't matter what it is. It don't matter what it is. You know, there's some choices for God's children to make in this world, aren't there? Now, you don't choose to be a child of God. No, sir. God chose you. If you're a child of God, God chose you. You didn't choose him. Hear me? But there's some choices for God's children to make. And that's what old brother Joshua told him in Joshua 24 and 15. You know what he said in his farewell address? He says this. He says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. If it be the gods of the Amorites on the other side of the flood." He says, are the gods that your father served on the other side of the floods are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? He said, no. He said, as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. Now, I can't speak for you, but I'm going to speak for me and this house. Hear me? I can speak for me and this old tabernacle. I want to speak for me in this tabernacle and tell you we going to serve the Lord. I'd like to retire, and I'd like to sit on my front porch and wave at folks as they go by in my rocking chair. I got two sitting right out on the front porch, and I wave at everybody, know everybody goes by just about. They wave at me, blow the horn. It'd be a good time to sit there and just watch them go by. Yes, sir, it would. Us country folks have a big time. But I want to tell you one thing, brother. that I remember one time when there was an old man by the name of Caleb. An old man by the name of Caleb. That they wanted to give him something for his service to the Lord. You know what? They said, Lord, Caleb, what can we give you for your faithful service? You know what he did? He looked up at Mount Hebron. And he said, give me that mountain. Give me the mountain. Give me the mountain and I'll climb it. You show me the river and I'll cross it. Lord, you be with me. I'm not halting between two opinions. Baal is out there, but he's not in the race. He's not in the race. Choose you this day whom you will, sir. And I say this to you today, my friends. If you're here tonight, joining the church won't make one a soul happier in heaven. It won't change heaven's number one bit. But I'm going to tell you what it will do. It'll make you happy while you live. It'll make you happy while you live. That's the reason the church is here today, as a resting place. How long halt you between two opinions? Are you struggling with things in life that you need not struggle with? You say, well, preacher, I'm having such a struggle today. I'm having such a struggle. How can I join the church and have any rest? I'll tell you right now how you can do it. Jesus says this in Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say, I'll give you eternal life. But he said, I'll give you rest. Arminian was arguing to me one day. He said, Brother Ricky, now there it is. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That goes out to everybody. I said, no, brother, it don't. All that has reference to is those that are laboring and heavy laden. You can't get another one in the text. That's all. And if you're laboring and heavy laden today under the bondage and the guilt of sin, I want to tell you, Jesus said, you come unto me. How long halt you between two opinions? Come unto me. Now, John 6:44 said, no man can come. Is there a contradiction in the scripture? No. John 6:44 says, no man can come. That means no man by himself has the ability to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. He is dead in sins. He cannot move. But for that man who has been made alive in Christ, the invitation is to him, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Jesus says, come unto me. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's somebody that says there's a yoke to bear, but it's easy. You know why? Because there's one working by the side of you that's not only able to pull the load, but he also bears the load. If you've ever seen a yoke, and I close with this, and I still ask you the question to examine yourself, how long halt you between two opinions? If you've ever seen a yoke, my granddaddy was a timber man. And they'd take yokes of oxen to the river bottoms. And as they'd take those yoke of oxen, they had one trained oxen here that was called a lead ox. But they have another over here working by the side of him that was called an off oxen. And he was kind of an apprentice. He was in training. And this old lead oxen over here knew what to do. He knew every step that needed to be made. And oftentimes this oxen called the off oxen, he was just learning. And this lead oxen not only had to pull the load, but he had to bear the load for the off oxen because he really didn't know what to do. And I've heard Papa say so many times that in the muck and the mire and the mud in that timber, he said he saw those old oxen get out on their knees. And he said when the load became so heavy, he said he'd never let up on the pull. But he said he'd sink to his knees and said that yoke would press into his shoulders. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, today. When you and I are burdened with the heaviness and the guilt of our sins, a good place for us is like that old ox, to be on our knees. To be on our knees. And oh, what a wonderful experience that is, to be on our knees. Before daylight, Mama would say that he'd go to the barn and he'd make a certain sound. And wherever those oxen were, they'd come to the barn. And they didn't even have to put the yoke on them, but he'd stand there and hold it, and they'd put their head in the yoke. That's how trained they were. That's how dedicated they were. And I'll tell you, if we today, now you remember, the Bible tells us, and Paul compares the ministry to oxen. Paul compares the ministry to oxen. And if I had another hour to preach now, I'd preach on Psalms 144. Now don't get scared. I'm not going to preach another hour. But if I did have time, this is what I'd preach about. Do you know what the Bible says? Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. You know what he said would be the result of that? That our oxen would be strong to labor, and that our children would be like cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. This is the result, brethren, of being faithful laborers in the kingdom of God. I ask you today, how long halt ye between two opinions? May God help us today to be willing oxen, to put our heads in the yoke and see our shoulders pressed to the job. May God help us to do that today. I'm not weary of serving the Lord. I want to give my life. And here's the reason I'd give my life, to spend and be spent in the service of God. Some of the saddest times that I've ever had in my life, when my little girl was little, and there's been many a faithful servant of God that's done a lot more than I have, I guarantee you. But I've left my wife and my little girl, and her standing on the front porch, and she cried and asked Daddy to stay at home. And I didn't do it. And I'll tell you right now, brother, it tore my heart out at times. It really did. It's not that the church couldn't do without me. It's not that the kingdom of God couldn't do without me. It can do without any of us. No, none of us are indispensable. But I want to tell you right now, God calls us, and God, as he calls us, expects us to be faithful to that calling. And as God expects us to be faithful to that calling, he gives us these burdens and these abilities to preach. And he says, you preach the word to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all manner of longsuffering. I'll tell you, how long halt you between two opinions? If you're here tonight and you've halted between two opinions, I've got some good news for you. The burden that you're carrying is one that the Lord has put there. The burden that you're carrying is the one the Lord's put there. You say, I'm carrying a heavy burden. I'll tell you right now, the Lord can put a heavy burden on you, and he'll do that. And thank God he does. Thank God he does. There's a man came to join the church one day, and he said, I feel to be such a sinner. And I said, thank God. He said, you know what? When I left here, he said, Brother Rick has told us what dead, rotten, and dirty sinners we are, and we leave in here just shouting happy tonight. Well, you know, that's hard for the world to understand. It really is. But I'll tell you, when you see yourself for what you are and God for what he really is, I'll tell you, you won't halt between two opinions anymore. Amen. Thank you. May God bless you is my prayer for Jesus' sake. Brother George.